and I enjoyed that. And it sure is a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here, and always is to be here at Faith Baptist. And I sure love and appreciate your preacher. And I hate that I didn't get to see him while he was here. I did have the opportunity just a few weeks back to be in camp with him there in Kansas and preach with him and got to see him for a little bit. And I always enjoy being around your preacher. Anytime I'm in his presence and go away, I honestly feel like that I've been bettered for it. And those of you that are pastor, well, I see Brother Ross out there, you know what I'm talking about. There are certain men that you're around that they surely sharpen you. And your preacher is one of those kind of men. He's a godly man. He has a testimony across this nation as being a godly man and a holy man. And I thank the Lord for your preacher and again for the privilege to be here. And Brother Ross, it's good to see you too. And always good to see Brother Ross. And I love the people out there in Oklahoma. And I love what they're doing. I'm standing behind them. Amen. Well, I want to be a help to you and encouragement to you tonight. I just say that there is a book table out back. And if you want to look at anything, I'll be out there afterwards. There's some preaching CDs. There's also some books back there. There's a book on revival back there. There's some books, some helps. Brother Hanks, you may have some of his stuff already. There's some books back there on the men and women of Proverbs. There's also some things on just trying to help you through your Bible reading schedule and how you have to fill out different answers. You have to answer questions from each chapter of the Bible as you go through the Bible. And just a good tool to keep yourself on track. But some of that stuff's back there. And if you want to be back there afterwards, or come stop by there afterwards, I'll be back there. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you here. And the context of this passage, it's dealing with and the parable of the sower and the seed. And I'm not going to get into tonight the breakdown about what there's many people believe different things about who's saved and who's not saved here in this passage of Scripture. And but I do want to say that the Lord explains it pretty readily here as we look at it, at this passage of Scripture. It says, and let's just jump down, look at verse number 10. It says, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him a parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? And then he expounds that parable to them. He says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are on the stony ground. So the first one, he says, the seed is there. Satan comes and takes it away. My friend, you cannot lose your salvation. If you're truly saved, you've accepted Christ, that's something you can't lose. So therefore, this first individual take is somebody that is not saved or somebody that heard the word but did not really truly accept in their heart. Satan was able to take it away from them, snatch it away. Verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Notice what it says, and have no root in themselves, and so, what's that next word? Endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Then it goes on down and explains the rest of the parable there. But in this context of this scripture, what it's talking about, those that were sown on the stony ground are those that had no endurance. If we are missing anything today in our Christianity, it is endurance. Being able to endure. Our young people have no endurance today. As I look out there at football camp, and we're trying to work with these young men and teach them to have some endurance and to be able to continue on and to fight through things. And every year it seems like it's a little worse. Seems like the group of young men that come there are a little worse. They don't have the wherewithal to just keep going. Well, moms and dads, it's not all their problem. It's because that they're following a pattern that they've seen. They're following things that they have watched. You know that it is said that our divorce rate today is higher in Christian homes than it is in the secular world. That's a scary thing to think about. I think about children, about how young people today, and even adults today, you get a job and God blesses you with a job, and if we don't like the job, then we just quit and go to another job. Try to find another one. I don't like that. Well, it's too hard. It's too this. It's too that. I remember when I was down at the camp, my son wanted to work, and working at the camp, I was so busy all the time, and I didn't have opportunities to be able to pay him to do things. And so somebody came to me and said, "Brother Martin, I need somebody to do some work." If you've ever been to West Virginia, Brother Ross, you've been there before. You know what the mountains and hillsides look like there. I mean, they are steep. This guy came to me, and he's a horse farmer, and he said, "I need somebody to clear out my sides of my hills there." And so he said, "You know anybody?" I said, "Sure, I got just the person." I said, "Danny, I got a job for you." He said, "What is it, Dad?" And I explained it to him. I said, "You're going to go out there for Brother Chuck, and he wants that whole hillside cleared off for his horses so they can graze and all that." And he said, "Okay." So he went out there, man, he got at it, worked at it. And that first day, I remember him coming back home, and I got home late from camp that night, Brother Ross, and he was whooped. He was beat. I mean, he said, "Man, that's hard, Dad, that's hard." I said, "That's good for you, son." He went back the next day and worked again. And I don't know that I saw him the next day, but about the third or the fourth day, I saw him again, and he came to me and he said, "Dad," he said, "I don't think I can do this." He said, "I don't think I want to do this job anymore." And I said, "What do you mean you don't think you want to do this job?" He said, "Dad, this is hard work." I said, "Yeah, it's hard work." I said, "Guess what? You're going to do the job. You're going to finish the job because you committed to do that job, son. So you're going to follow through and you're going to commit." You know what? That taught him to learn to endure through some hard things. Listen, people, we quit on everything today. You know, it's one of the reasons why we don't see revival today. Listen, we're not seeing our churches growing and growing from converts coming in and growing. We're seeing more from additions, from people jumping from church to church to church. Why? Because there ain't no endurance today. Nobody wants to learn to endure. Listen, dear one, this life is all about endurance. This life we're going to live, if you're going to live the Christian life, you're going to have to learn to endure. Our rest awaits us on the other side. In this life, we're going to have to battle and we're going to have to fight. Listen, there are lessons in life. And there's growth in faith that come only through learning to endure. Only. The only way you're going to learn those lessons, the only way you're going to grow. It's what I like about football camp. And they grab them boys, and them boys ain't got no opportunity. And that's why they don't let moms come, amen? Them boys ain't got no opportunity to run or go here or even run and cry and say, "Oh, this is too hard." And no, you're going to teach them to endure some things. It'd sure help if mom and dad would learn to endure some things too. And teach our children by that. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines endure as this. It says, to last, to continue in the same state without perishing. To remain, to bear, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. To sustain, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. You get that? Without yielding to force or pressure. That's what we do today, is we give in to the world and we give in to the pressures of life and give in to everything and no endurance in our life, and we're teaching and training our children to do the same thing. We need to learn to endure. It says that the word endurance means this, a state of lasting duration, a bearing or suffering or continuing under, listen to this, continuing under pain or distress. You know what? It does hurt sometimes to have to endure. There is pain and distress in that. Well, I'm going to tell you what, when you get to the end of it, there's joy and rejoicing knowing that you've accomplished something. It says, it goes on to say, without resistance or without sinking or yielding to pressure. When I was in the Navy, I boxed for 2.5 years. I enjoyed boxing. I liked that. I wish we had more young men that would become young men. When we trained for boxing, we had two major categories that you train. One of them is called strength training. Oh, that's a lot of fun. Because that's when you pump the weights, you know, and maybe you get to see a little bit of, you see a little growth in your muscles and everything, and you think, boy, this is really neat. And that's the one that's fun. I mean, you hit it real hard for a little bit and get those muscles pumped up. But the other one, nobody liked that much. What's that? That's the endurance training. That's when you had to get out on the pavement and run 6, 8, 10 miles. And you had to do it day in and day out and day in and day out. But can I tell you something? The men that won the majority of their fights majored on endurance training. Strength is for show. Maybe it'll last for a little bit, but somebody that learned how to endure with the people who won their fights. As a matter of fact, I was always on that little bubble there. I was always having to fight. I was usually weighed in at 176 or 178. Back then, they didn't have any, that cruiserweight category, whatever, so I always boxed the heavyweights. You say, boy, it wasn't that hard. I gave up 25, 30, 35 pounds almost every time I fought. And I never lost one fight. Why? Because I learned how to endure. I learned how to endure a little bit. Listen, it was rough at the beginning, but that's the way it is in this life too. There's a strong application. The life that we live here, we have got to learn to make it through some battles as we go along the way. And the only way you're going to do that is to learn to endure. I want to give you 5 points tonight, and I promise you I'll be very sensitive to the time. I want to give you 5 points real quick about why we need to learn to endure. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to have a word of prayer real quick. Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few moments. And Lord, would you help us to receive something from your word that will strengthen and help us and encourage us, God, to just keep on going on in these perilous days that we live in. Father, we thank you for loving us and for saving us. And God, we each and every one ought to desire to give ourselves back to you and to endure this life that we live today. Looking forward to that day when we'll be able to be with you forever. Lord, would you help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what it says here. First point, why we need to learn to endure. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 1, notice what it says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. Why? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to learn to endure? I'll tell you why. Because it's the way we become a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Can I say to you today that soldiers without endurance are not worth much? People in battle, we need people that'll learn to endure some things. And can I say to you tonight, dear one, we're in a battle today. We're in a battle in this Christian life. We're going to have to learn to endure more and more and more. Can I say to you, it's not going to get any easier. From this point on to the day we see Jesus, I promise you it's not going to get any easier. We just need to learn to endure so that we can become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word there, hardness, endure hardness, it means afflictions or trouble. We're going to be afflicted in this life. We're going to be troubled in this life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just over a couple chapters. And verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Same word there, talking about hardships, troubles, afflictions. I remember when I went into the military. And I was in the, spent 5 years in the Navy, United States Navy. Went to boot camp there. And Brother Ross, you were in the military, weren't you? You weren't, okay. Your preacher always said, You were in the Marines, weren't you, Brother Martin? I said, no, I was in the Navy. He said, oh boy, then he really let me have it. But anyway, went into boot camp, and you know, we went through the first 6-7 weeks of training and hit it hard and everything, and then you get down to about your 8th or 9th week of boot camp, and then they put you through some specialized training. And the first one they put us through was firefighter training. And I became a firefighter for 15 years, but I had no ambitions at that time of doing that. And we went through all this firefighter training and got down to the end of the week. And we kept seeing this building over here that had this big old cinder block building with smoke that would be pouring out of it. I thought, what in the world is that? You know, the smoke coming out. It was just a huge cinder block building and had two great big metal doors, one on either side of the building. Well, we found out real quick what it was about when it came Thursday. They said, tomorrow, everybody's got to go through the smokehouse. Only way you're going to pass this week of boot camp. We thought, what's that all about? Well, they explained it to us Friday morning as we got there and got ready to go at it. They took a rope and they took a rope from one end to the other of that building. That building was probably about as wide as maybe from here to that door over there. And what they did was they went inside that building and they stoked up this big fire. And then they just shut the doors on it and let it consume all of the oxygen up and the whole place filled with smoke. And it was hot and it was smoky. And they got us up there, and we'd been using masks and doing this and that and the other. They got us to the door that day, and they said, here's what you got to do. You got to grab hold of the rope. There'll be a rope down there about knee high. You got to grab hold of the rope, get down on your hands and knees, and crawl from one end of the building to the other. We thought, well, that's not too bad, until they told us that we couldn't wear a mask. There's no mask. You crawl from one end to the other. And then we got this bright idea, Brother Reardon. Here's what we're going to do. You know what? The guy in the front, you just go as fast as you can go, man. And we'll just go as fast as we can behind you. And then they said, and we're going to lead the way. The drill instructor is going to lead the way. And you don't pass him. You stay right there with him. Man, I'm going to tell you what. We got on that rope that morning. I remember as we got down there, hands and knees, and started to crawl through that building. And he just took his just good old time for that first little bit there. And I mean, we started gagging and coughing and hacking and everything. And we thought we were going to die before we get to the other end of it. But by the time we got to that other end and crawled out the other side, there are guys all over everywhere just hacking and coughing and heaving. And all this, if you had a mucous membrane, there was stuff coming out everywhere. You know, you look at that and you say, boy, that is today, you know what the world says today? That's cruel and abusive. No, you know what that was? They were teaching us to learn to endure a little bit. What happens when you have a fire on board your ship? What happens when you got to learn a little bit so you be ready on down the road? What happened was they were training us to be able to take a little bit. The next week, we thought, thank God we're through that. The next week, they said, now we're going to learn about chemical and biological warfare. And so they take us through all this training and everything. They show us the different gas masks and everything. The last day again, they say, we're going to go to the gas house. Now, we weren't real smart, but we weren't real dumb either. We got to thinking, they're going to make us go in that gas house there. Now, they took us in there and they let us have our masks on. And we were shocked. We said, oh boy, this is great. So they took us in there and they started pouring all the gas in there. That gas, they said, it's colorless, it's odorless. You can't tell it's here, but it's here. We're walking around for a few minutes, and all of a sudden they shut the doors to the gas house. And they said, okay, take your mask off. Take our mask off? What do you mean take our mask off? There's gas in here. Yeah, take your mask off. You didn't question them. They said, take your mask. A couple of guys hesitated. Man, they got in our face. Take your mask off, soldier! Man, I'm telling you what, the guys started taking their mask off. It didn't take 10 seconds, man. I'm telling you what, my throat was on fire. My eyes were burning so bad I couldn't see. All the other guys are in there. We're all hacking and just carrying on. And finally, a guy drops over. Thank God somebody dropped. Because then they opened the doors up. Amen. We was able to get out of there. You say, boy, that's cruel and abusive. That's not cruel and abusive. You know what they were doing? They were trying to get us prepared for something that might be a lot tougher on down the road. What happened if we'd have hit something like that without ever having any kind of preparation for it? They're just teaching us to learn to endure some things. People, as we learn to endure, we became better soldiers. And as we learn to endure some things in this life, we become better soldiers for Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to face it. We're going to have afflictions and troubles, but we need to learn to just keep on going forward. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. First reason why we need to learn to endure is it's the way we become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number... Look at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that don't like that today. You say, what do you mean? God in His Word says we're supposed to be submissive to those that are in authority over us. Doesn't matter who it is. Those that are in authority over us for the Lord's sake. Now, not when it's contrary to this blessed book that you hold in your hands, but otherwise we're supposed to be. It says, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. It goes on down and says a few other things here, but look down verse 18. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Why? Why go through and why listen and why obey the authorities and why do all this? I'll tell you why. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Listen, there are times when we're going to go through some battles and things in this life that maybe they ain't just and they ain't just right, but you know what? We just need to learn to endure it for the Lord's sake. You're going to come upon many things like that's why many people won't stay at a job or quit a job or won't have a bad testimony for the Lord. You're just not learning to endure. God says, secondly, the reason why we need to learn to endure is because it's thankworthy to Him. That word thankworthy means to express gratitude or favor to one deserving of it. Dear ones, our God is deserving of all of the praise and all the honor and all the glory that we can give Him. It says that we need to learn to endure grief. Enduring the afflictions of this life for God brings glory to God, people. It's thankworthy to Him. It's enduring proves what we say we believe. It proves what we say we believe as a Christian if we'll learn to endure some things and thus bring honor and glory to God. I remember when I got in the fire department, me and my wife were just about to get married and I'd gone through all the testing procedures and everything. And I told the Lord, God, if you'll let me get in here, God, I wasn't trying to barter with God or bargain with God, but I said, God, if you'd let me get in here, I'll do my best to be a witness and testimony for you. And Lord, God knows I did. I tried. I failed. Amen. I failed. But I tried. But I prayed that and I found out like 4 days before we got married. And I had to go to 6 weeks training 2 days after we got married. But I got that job and I was so happy about it. Man, I tell you, I got there that day that first that went through the 6 weeks of training and everything and got there first day on the job in the fire department. Man, I was so excited. 23 guys in our main station, 6 trucks. I got there and I never eat breakfast. I'd have a cup of coffee or whatever. So I didn't sit down and eat with the guys, had my coffee and everything. But on lunchtime, man, I got in there, got my tray, went through the line and I got my plate there and I sat down at the table. Man, I was so excited about being there. Man, I bowed my head and closed my eyes and put my hands under the table and just said a prayer to myself, a little prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. And you ever get the feeling people are staring at you? Oh, man. I could feel the daggers, man, like they was piercing right through my head. And I finished that prayer, and I looked up. When I looked up, Brother Ross, here was one of them firefighters leaning across the table, right in my face. He said, well, 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 what do we got ourselves here, a preacher? Man, 23 guys started busting out laughing and cutting up and carrying on. I mean, it got thick for about 10, 15 minutes. He said, what'd you do? Probably about what you would do. I felt pretty wounded, pretty taken back. But you know what I told God? God, I'll do my best to be a witness to you and testimony to you. What'd you do supper time? Went and got my tray, got my plate, came back, sat at the table, bowed my head, closed my eyes, said my prayer. They laughed, they mocked. They kept on, listen people, you say, well, you know, I just can't be a witness at work. You can be a witness at work. You need to learn to endure a little bit. You know what? Within about 2 years' time, every station that I went to, they were asking me to pray for the meals for the guys there. Even the downtown station, they'd ask me to pray for the meals. Why? How did that happen? Not because I'm anything, but because I tried to learn to endure a little bit, and God says this will work, and it'll be thankworthy to me, and it'll help. It'll bring glory to me. Listen, God privileged me to see 4 or 5 of those guys saved while I was in there. How did all that happen? Because I had a little bit of a testimony. Because I learned to endure a little bit. People, we need to learn to endure a little bit of grief in this life. I remember that I got hired in July. And in December, they always had we worked there 24-hour shifts. We lived there. I was there 24 hours on and then 48 hours off. It was just like another home, another family. I mean, the firemen, they're just rough characters. They always had a drawing at Christmas time where they drew names for gifts. But the thing was, it was always a gag gift. and always a lewd gag gift. And man, I didn't want to be a part of it. And they said, they did just really hammered down on me and said, you got to take part in it. So I drew a name, somebody drew my name, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, what's going to happen? Well, the name I drew, I bought the guy a Bible. Gave the guy a Bible at Christmas time. But the guy that drew my name was the older guys in the department, probably one of the hardest guys in the department. I'm thinking, Lord, what's going to happen? He gave me that gift there on that Christmas Eve that we worked that day and handed that gift to me, Brother Tony, and I looked at it and I could tell it was a book. And I'm thinking, oh no, what in the world kind of book would he give me? And I sat there and I started opening that thing up. As I began to peel that cover back off of it, Brother Ross, I opened it up and this guy looked at me and he said, Danny, I wasn't going to get you anything bad. He said, he got me a copy. He said, I didn't know what to get you, but he got me a copy of that old book, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And he said, I thought maybe this would be a help to you or something. You see, how do the things like that happen? It ain't because I'm anything, but it's because I try to learn to endure a little bit of grief, dear one. God gets glory when we do that. It's thankworthy to Him if we'll just learn to endure a little bit. And by the way, that was one of the guys that got saved before he died. About 2 years before he died, he got saved, started going to church, got active and involved. Listen, I thank God that I might have had just a little bit of chance to make a difference in his life. We need to learn to endure a little bit of grief because it's thankworthy to God. I got to continue on. Let me give you the third one. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn back there again real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. Notice what it says. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. As Apostle Paul speaking to his preacher boy Timothy, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Amen. Therefore, I endure all things. Why? For the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why is the third reason why we need to learn to endure? For the sake of those who need to be saved. That's why. There's people who need to be saved, people. How are they going to learn it? Apostle Paul said here that it was through learning to endure some things that people came to the point of salvation. As we endure all things, we become the witness that a lost and dying world needs. We need, I'm not saying that the only thing we're supposed to do is go out there and just be a lifestyle evangelist, but I'll tell you what, it has a whole lot to play and it would make a difference in this ungodly society if we just start acting like we ought to act like today. What is it? This thing about learning to endure for the elect's sake, it says there. I think about how Mary of Bethany, there in John chapter 11, went through all the struggles and battles with Lazarus' death and everything. And the Lord finally came to her. Jesus said to her, He began to weep there with her and everything. And He raised Lazarus from the dead. And long story short, what happened when He brought her forth from the dead, there was some of the world that had come to Mary to try to comfort her. Can I say the world's not going to comfort you? There's only one that's going to be able to comfort you. They came to try to comfort her. They couldn't comfort her. But buddy, I'll tell you what. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, she found some comfort. When Jesus brought him forth from the dead, she was found that comfort. But not only that, it says in that verse there in John chapter 11 and verse number 45, it says, then those that came to comfort Mary also believed on Jesus. Listen, because she learned to endure a little bit the right way and look to the right one, others also came into the fold. I think of when I was in the military, also in the Navy. There was a man on board the ship. There was a guy on our ship that was a Navy SEAL I used to train with, and when he came to our ship, the reason he came to our ship was he got out of the SEAL program because God called him. If he got saved, God called him to preach, and he came there and he started a little Bible study there. And boy, I tell you, a lot of the guys started going over to his Bible study and everything. And you talk about an impact. We had a chaplain on board our ship, but he was a Lutheran chaplain and really ungodly. He would he's the first one to take guys in and buy him a drink when we got to shore. Well, the captain came down one day because the chaplain was complaining to the captain. Chaplain was a lieutenant colonel. And here's this little old little old peon petty officer that's holding a Bible study that's carrying a lot more guys than his chapel service is carrying. So he went to the captain, and the captain called us all in, and he said, "Hey," he said, "what's going on?" And we said, "Well, this guy's teaching us the Bible, and the chaplain, man, he just, I don't know, he's out there, he's taking us, he wants to take guys to bars and do this and that and the other." And the captain goes, "Oh, okay." Within 30 days, that chaplain was transferred off the ship. Tim had the only Bible study on the ship. During that time, this was the first man. I wasn't raised an independent fundamental Baptist. This is the first man I ever saw that was a soul winner. Man, he was winning people to Christ right and left. And the Bible study was growing and God was working and doing things in there. And there was a guy, we went on a Mediterranean cruise, and there was a guy, it was another big old guy on our ship there, and he was just wicked and ungodly. His name was Al. And Tim would go to Al, and they worked in the same division together. He'd say, "Al, why don't you need to get saved." And Al would just mock him. And it got worse and worse and worse as time went by. I mean, to the point where when Tim would say something to him about, "You need to get saved, or why don't you come to the Bible study?" He would just begin to curse at him and everything. Then it got to the point he finally laid back and didn't say much at all. But when he did, he would say something. He'd say, "Al, you ought to think about being saved." He'd wad up spit in his mouth. He'd spit right in his face. He'd say, "That's what I think about that." And Tim could have killed him. Tim would just wipe off of his face. He'd say, "Jesus loved you." Over and over I saw that happen. On that ship, on that cruise, there were times when he came to that bunk and he would try to roll Tim out of the bunk. And a couple times he did. He rolled him right out onto the steel deck on the floor there. Tim would just tell him, "Jesus loves you." We went on that Mediterranean cruise, and it happened over and over and over again. And Al would go in and get drunk, and he'd come back. And finally, one night, Al came in. Tim said he came to my bunk, and he started shaking and rolling. He said, "I thought he was going to throw me out again. Here we go again." And he said, "I woke up." I said, kind of put my hands up. What's up, Al? What's the matter?" And he said, "I saw it." Al was crying. There's big old tears rolling down Al's face. Al looked at him and he said, "Tim, I don't know what you got, but I need what you got." Let me say, he was drunk. He knew there was a need, but he was drunk. And Tim wisely, I believe, waited till the next morning. And he sat down with him and he shared what he needed to know, and Al got saved. Can I tell you, Al is a Sunday school teacher today in a good Baptist church. Why? Because somebody learned to endure a little bit of grief and a little bit of hardship. Why? Because there's people that need to be saved. How are they ever going to believe that there is a God if we don't prove it to them in our actions and what we say and what we do? Go out there and witness. Go out and tell people you love them. But prove it in the rest of your life too. Let me say, fourthly, and I'm hastening, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Why do we need to learn to endure? 2 Timothy chapter 4, we could read through the first 5 or 6 verses here, but verse number 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears," and goes on and on. Why do we need to learn to endure? Because of the day and age that we live in. Because can I tell you, dear friend, we're living in that day and age right now. What? The day and age where people will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, people, we're in a day and age today where doctrine is going by the wayside. It's being replaced by preference and by the ecumenical philosophy of this world today, the methodologies of this world today, and preference has replaced principles, the principles of the truth of the Word of God. People don't want to endure sound doctrine. They want to do like Colossians chapter 2 says. They want to follow after man's tradition and man's philosophy. Bless God, we've got a book here that we need to live by. We need to learn to endure some sound doctrine. I'm going to tell you what, it's scary to me. As I travel the country and God has blessed me and I get an opportunity to be all over the place. And it scares me as I travel around and as I see what's happening today. God's people are not sticking by the old stuff. God's people are turning the other way. They're not enduring sound doctrine. Can I say it's not because it's not being preached in a lot of places? It's because we're choosing not to listen to what the Word of God has to say. Listen, dear one. You got to endure just a little time on this life. Eternity's a long time. We get to spend it all with the Lord. Why don't we prove to Him what He means to us right now? We live in a wicked day and age. I plead with you to stand. Let me give you the last one. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Why is it that we need to learn to endure? Oh, I love this here. James chapter 5. And notice what it says in verse number 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. Why do we need to learn to endure? Because of the joy that it brings. That's why. Listen, dear one, as we learn to endure the battles and the struggles and the trials in this life, just like the old time prophets, as they battled through and went through it, they were happy that they were able to endure for the Lord's sake. When was the last time that you had to suffer something and go through something and you made it through? Think back about it. Think back about the joy that it brought as you brought forth honor and glory to God when you didn't give in. It brings joy. It brings happiness. Accomplishment in anything brings joy. When you endure something, it brings happiness. Think about Job and how all that Job went through. And Job, at the very end of all those trials and everything, I mean, he was a perfect man, upright man, one that feared God, one that eschewed evil. But it wasn't until Job chapter 42 and verse 5 that Job said to God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth. He said, until that trouble was over, wasn't until that affliction was over. Now I look back over it and I say, oh God, now I really see you. Now I really see what happened. Dear one, there's joy that comes when we learn to endure. There's joy that comes when we learn to endure in a family. Hey, there ain't no joy when a family breaks up. There's no joy in that. There's joy when you learn to endure some troubles and trials. And God brings you through it. It's no joy when you begin to jump from church to church to church to church. There's no joy in that. The joy is when you learn to endure with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Continue to move forward for God. That's what brings joy and happiness. There's no joy when we head our own way and do our own thing. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You may sit here tonight and say, Brother Martin, how can I? How can I endure? I want to learn to endure. I want to do those things, but how can I do it? I'll tell you how you do it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Give you three verses and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what it says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied in faint in your mind. Why? How am I going to be able to learn to endure? You keep your eyes on Jesus. That's how you learn to endure. That's the only way you're going to do it. You ain't going to do it any other way. And listen, the way that He was able to endure the cross was He looked at your soul. Your soul meant something precious to Him. That's why He went on through it. Can't we learn to endure a little bit looking unto Him? Listen, how am I going to make it through? Keep your eyes on Him. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, that says that, it tells us how Moses made it. Hebrews 11:27, what does it say there? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How did he keep going? How can Moses keep on going? I'll tell you why. He saw him that was invisible. He kept his eyes on Jesus. That's how he kept going. And I think about that passage over in, we won't turn there, Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus is out there on the water, walking on the water, and his disciples are troubled. And I'll turn there and just read you a couple of verses and I'm done. Matthew chapter 14, and here's what it says. Matthew 14 and verse number 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. See, many of us go through, we're maybe going through those battles right now in our life. Maybe you just can't see him out there. There's a lot of trouble going on. It says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He'd say the same thing to you tonight if he was standing right here. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. When Peter was come out, down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." I mean, he was heading across the water. On the water. I mean, you walked on water lately. He was heading on the water to Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was all right. But it says, in the next verse there, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." There's no fear in perfect love. Who is perfect love? You keep your eyes on him. It says, "When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Can I say to you people, it's the story of the Christian's life right there. Jesus is on the other side awaiting us. He's just saying, it's okay, you can come on, just keep coming. Just keep your eyes on me. And we'll walk through this battle in this life, and the struggles and battles begin to sideswipe us, and we get blindsided, and we get knocked around a little bit. And the moment that we take our eyes off of him, we begin to fall. The only way you're ever going to learn to endure is to continue to keep your eyes on him. You take your eyes off of him, that's when you're going to quit church and jump to another church and go to another church. You take your eyes off of him, that's when you're going to leave your family. You take your eyes off him when you get a little bit of trouble in your family or household. You take your eyes off him and you'll head another direction. It scares the fire out of me as I travel around the country and I see what's happening today. It's scary. I mean, people out of the ministry and people's lives destroyed and good, godly people and their lives are a wreck. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because we've headed down this path where we don't want to endure any hardship. We don't want to endure any grief. You might as well face it. It's going to be there all the way through this life. And the only way you're going to make it is to keep your eyes on him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You have no hope whatsoever if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. I just ask you a quick question tonight. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that if you died right now, eternity would be in view for you, and eternity in heaven would be in view for you? If you'd say, "Brother Martin, I know that. There's been a time in my life where I made a decision and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I know I'm on my way to heaven, no doubts." Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? That's me, Brother Martin. Slip your hand up high there. I can get a glance at you. You can put your hands down. I couldn't see quite everybody, but many hands went up. But maybe there's one tonight that said, "Brother Martin, I don't know that for sure. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Would you pray for me?" You'd slip your hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. You'd just slip it up and down real quick. "Brother Martin, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Would you pray for me?" You'd just slip it up and back down real quick. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Now let me ask you a question. Another question. You'd say, "Brother Martin, man, I've been going through some battles and struggles. And I, just to be honest with God, it felt like quitting many times. I'm going just battling through some things, and I sure needed this message tonight. I need to learn to endure through these hardships and trials. I want to learn to endure. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I've been sideswiped a little bit. I'm not where I should be. The Lord spoke to me tonight. Would you pray with me, Brother Martin? I'd get back where I need to be." That's me. You'd slip your hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Many hands. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, what hope do we have? You know, you gave the message. We need to learn to endure and why we do, but what hope do we have? I'll tell you the hope. The hope is Jesus. That's the hope. Keeping your eyes on Him. I'm going to have a word of prayer for you. You raise your hand, the altar will be open. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come and spend some time at this old-fashioned altar tonight? Take your time. You know, so many times we rush to an altar. God speaks to our heart. We rush to an altar. We bend a knee for a second. We walk back. And as James chapter 1 says, we sometimes go back the same person we were before. Why don't you spend some time with your Father this evening at the altar? Father, I pray that You'd bless this altar time. I thank You for speaking to hearts tonight, Lord. I thank You. Dear God, we can endure all the trials, all the heartaches, all the tribulation, all the grief, all the affliction of this life. God, we can endure it if we just keep our eyes on You. Lord, I pray that You'd help these Thy people that have raised their hand that may be going through some battles and struggles in their life. And Lord, just need that confidence to trust You and get their eyes back on You. Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen some homes and strengthen some people and solidify some people in their church. And God, just help us to learn to endure in these last days, keeping our eyes on You. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Musician plays, if God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? God spoke to you. There's a need in your life. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe one of the reasons why you got so much hardship is there's some sin in your life that you have not confessed before God. You've not repented and gotten where you should be. So much unconfessed sin in our lives today, people. God wants to do so much more with our lives, but He can't use dirty vessels. If we'd stay clean before Him and stay pure before Him, He could use us in such a greater way. What about you tonight? What about you, dear sir, at work? Have you learned to endure some things? Have you learned to endure a little bit of hardship? Or if I went to your workplace, would nobody even know that you're a Christian? God help us. What about you, dear one? Maybe a young person that has to go to public school. You ought to be a testimony for God. You ought to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Learn to endure. Some things we need to learn to endure. The way we do it is to keep our eyes on Jesus.